Psalm 147 is part of these last five psalms from 146 onward. Each psalm begins and ends with hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Fitting for this ancient hymn book to end this way, these five psalms almost form an epilogue. Psalm 147, 148, 149, 150, all of them have great scope in regards to their command to praise and the things that they take issue with in regards to praising the Lord. 147 says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. It's a blessing to do something that's good and enjoy it, isn't it? Think of the things we had to do in the world trying to enjoy ourselves. And think of before you were saved in the world, did you ever think that you would enjoy singing praises to the Lord? That was the last thing I ever thought I would enjoy, I mean, be honest. Growing up in a denominational church as a little kid, it was the last place I wanted to be. I remember cutting church on Sunday morning and going to Horn and Horus and hoping my parents wouldn't find out that I cut church, because then you were in trouble. Unimaginable that looking forward to communion services, looking forward to come praising the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, I think so. And praise is fitting, it's comely, it's beautiful, it's proper, it's fitting. And begins to tell us why. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts. Loves to do that, you know. He takes pleasure in fixer-uppers. Look around the room. Some people just love to get an old car and restore it, or an old beat-up house and restore it, and the Lord just loves to gather the outcasts. Jesus says in a parable, his servants to go and invite those to the wedding feast. One said, hey, I've got to try out a team of oxen. I've got to go look at a piece of land I've bought. You know, come on, who buys a piece of land without looking at it? You know, you listen to those excuses. And then he says, go on down to the highways, the byways, into the hedges, and bring in the halt, bring in the lame, bring in those that that have no place. Gather them into the marriage supper. He builds up Jerusalem. He gathereth the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. He heals the broken in heart and he binds up their wounds. Believe me, binding up a gunshot wound, binding up a cut that needs stitches, binding a broken bone is one thing. But binding up the kind of wounds that produce a broken heart is an incredibly complicated procedure. Human beings are incredibly complicated. We've had folks here at church. I can think of one girl that was having grand mal seizures. And Frank and I visited her in the hospital while she was having a grand mal seizure. Had it while we were there. And the doctors tried to find out what was going on. We had her transferred to another hospital where a specialist from our church worked, and they worked her over for 2 weeks, could find no neurological, physiological reason, and finally said, you know, there's something else going on here. We don't understand. And we got her out. We got her to a Christian counselor, and as time went on, started to come out that she had been sexually abused as a child. Slowly she began to open up and reveal the truth, and those seizures began to get further and further apart, and finally they stopped. Now, to me, human beings are incredibly complicated. You know, we're an integrated system of spirit, soul, mind, and body. And the things that happen deep in our hearts have a dramatic effect on our physical frame. It produce acid, produce ulcers, make your hair fall out. I mean, people lose their hair worrying about their hair. We're incredibly complicated. And I think probably over the years it's made me not even want to understand the diagnosis, just the prescription. It's made me not even want to know all of the details, the complicated details of why someone is the way they are. It's enough for me to know that Jesus is the answer, whatever the problem is. And I don't mean to... That answer is simple, but it's not simplistic, because we have seen Christ do things in the lives of people that it's unexplainable, and you see the dramatic change that takes place in their lives through the power of a living God. It says here that He healeth the brokenhearted and bindeth up their wounds, those wounds that can't be described, or bindeth up their griefs, you might, in your translation, might say, that He gets to the part of them that is not physical, that have an effect in the physical part of their being. And He knows how to bind up those griefs. Look, He telleth the number of stars. He knows the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our God, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The psalmist is saying something to us here that's relative to the fact that praising God is good, it is pleasant, it's fitting. Because He gathers together outcasts, He heals the brokenhearted, He binds up their wounds, and yet He knows the number of stars, and He calleth them all by their names. I know there's some organization you can join and you pay a certain amount of money and they name a star after you. That's because there's lots of them out there. They estimate 10 to the 25th power. About the same number of grains of sand they estimate are on the earth. They estimate that around 10 to the 26th power. I don't know who does the comparisons or counting, but I'm sure it takes a while. It says He knows them all by their names, the stars. 10 to the 25th power, if God were to name 3 stars per second, it would take Him over 10 billion years to name them all. Those are just the ones we know about. 3 names per second. You know, Adam, you know, God there has him in Eden, and God looks at Adam and says, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper that's suitable for him, his corresponding partner. Well, Adam doesn't know anything about that. He's in paradise. It's him, God, paradise. What else could he need? So God parades the animals in front of Adam and lets him name them. Each one, it says, with their corresponding partner. So it's Mr. and Mrs. Lion, Mr. and Mrs. Rhinoceros, Mr. and Mrs. Tortoise. You know, God's, you know, he's naming them, but God's trying to make a point with them. You know, this is an object lesson. Adam, where's Mr. and Mrs. Adam? Have you noticed anything here? You know, but he named all the animals. God, it says, has named all of the stars. And obviously, he didn't take 10 billion years to do it. Obviously, he named them all the day they were created. Well, what it's saying to us is what is explained in the next verse. He's great in power and His understanding is infinite. That's the only way that He could know them all by name. But what it's telling us is this God who knows them all by name is the God that stoops down to your broken heart. David had said similar things in Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Who set Thy glory above the heavens, yet out of the mouths of babes and sucklings Thou hast protected praise. When I consider the sun, the moon, and the stars, the work of Thy fingers. What is man that Thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that Thou visitest him? When I consider the heavens And he's saying here, he gathers the outcasts together and gives them, puts them together. Earlier in the Psalms it said he puts the solitary in flocks. And it says that he knows about those that are brokenhearted. He heals them. He binds up the things that makes them that way. Only God can do that. He's the same God who is infinite in his knowledge, in so much that he knows all of the stars. He knows them, and he knows them all by name. You know, they say it would take 100,000 years at the speed of light just to travel across our galaxy. But he cares about you, and he stoops way down to your life. Stooped way down. Paul says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that though he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he made himself in fashion like a man, and he humbled himself. He dwelt among us, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Why, it tells us in Hebrews that we have a high priest that can be touched with our infirmities. That he stooped down. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And there is some part of him we discover there, you know, again in Philippians, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection. We like that. But then Paul goes on to say, the fellowship of his sufferings. That there is something that we take hold of his love and of his grace in the difficult times also. And it is there that he meets us when our hearts are broken and he binds them up. He knows all of the causes. He knows everyone here that was abused. He knows everyone here that was ripped off when they were 12 or 13 years old and put up walls that are there that still present problems to people around them now that need to forgive, that need to become vulnerable again. And his word prescribes the way for us to do those things. And he is intimately involved with it. He's not just giving advice. He himself is the one who binds up those wounds in a human heart. In his infinite, unending, immeasurable wisdom and knowledge, he lifteth up the meek in all of this. He casts the wicked down to the ground. You know, we love to question him, don't we? It says that his understanding is infinite. And we say, but you know, Lord, if I was you. There's a helping hand that God appreciates. His understanding is infinite and he needs us to chip in. Where's that suggestion box again? The Lord lifts up the meek, casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. You know, he has a whole, again, this whole hydro system, 1.3 trillion tons of rain per day, 1.5 trillion tons of rain falling on the earth per day. There's a whole system, and in that momentum and in that system, he feeds and he cares for and he brings forth the grace. The idea is if he's caring for creation, he's the one who binds up the broken heart also. He does not delight in the strength of horses. He takes no pleasure in the legs of man, speaking about, you know, natural strength, the larger muscles in the human body, the strength of man or the strength of horses. But the Lord takes pleasure in those that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy, those who have spiritual strength. He doesn't take pleasure in physical strength. Physical strength's a wonderful thing. But he takes pleasure in those who fear him. That's a healthy thing. It's not torment. The Bible says fear hath torment, but it says the fear of the Lord is clean. It's enlightening. That it enables us, directs us, It's a healthy fear. The fear of the Lord. Standing in fear of God. In awe of God. Again, any of you who have grown up in a home and have had a good father know what it means both to love him and to fear him. I loved my dad. And I still love my dad. But when my mom said, "I'm telling your father," there was a different emotion I had. Same man. The Lord takes pleasure in those that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise God, thy God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. The Lord is the one who determined whether Jerusalem would be secure or not. It wasn't the iron that they were made of, but the Lord gave strength to the gates of Jerusalem. He's the one who has blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He blesses the increase. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. I like that. He sends forth his commandment. It's going to tell us certain things about his word in these last verses. His word runs very swiftly. It's not a picture of a 40-yard sprint. It's a picture of runneth. It's like water, like overflowing. His word runs swiftly. It covers. It immerses. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes, puts the frost on the ground. He casteth forth his ice, sleet, and hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? And the elements, if he sends that. Yet he sendeth out his word and melteth them. So his word runs swiftly. His word is able to melt those things that are hard and cold. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters to flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. As for his judgments, the idea is the other nations of the world have not known the praise of the Lord. It says here that he sends his word, it runs swiftly. That it is able to melt that which is hard and cold, and that it blesses. Broken heart needs to be bound up, sitting around hard, cold. God doesn't care. He's so far away, doesn't know what's... No. His knowledge is infinite. Yeah, he knows all the stars, he knows them all by name, but he stoops down to gather outcasts together. And not only does he mend broken hearts, but he knows what kind of binding that an individual heart needs on it to come back to health again. And he sends his word, and it runs swiftly, and doesn't return void. It'll accomplish what he sends it forth to do in our lives. And it will melt that which is hard and cold. It's able to do that. And it blesses. And he cares to be that way on behalf of his people. Hear Israel, hear the church. And it says, what other people are there that have had these kinds of things revealed to them? He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, the rest of the world, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Now, it's interesting because it begins praising him from the top down. It begins with descending praise, heavens, angels, and it comes down. And then in verse 7, it starts praising him from the bottom up. There starts to be ascending praise from dragons, the deeps, and also it's interesting to look at these praises. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all ye his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts, and evidently there are ranks and heavenly beings, cherubim, which are evidently the highest form of angelic being, but it doesn't seem that they're angels in and of themselves. There's seraphim, it seems. There is one archangel. His name is Michael. There aren't archangels. There's one archangel. And Gabriel, we're not sure what rank he is. Certainly he was in charge of birth announcements, it seems, the birth of Christ, special duty. What interesting creatures we'll encounter. There are guardian angels that watch over children, and they always do behold the face of the Father, it says. They are innumerable, it says. They're sent forth to minister to the saints. They camp around those that fear him. Angelic hosts and ranks, praise him. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens. And ye waters that be above the heavens. We'll find out what that's all about someday. The waters that are above the heavens and the heavens of heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Ex nihilo, creating out of nothing. There's no theistic evolution here. He spoke and they were. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. So, praising him from his creative acts from the heavens down. Now, praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons. Tanin. This is no doubt the great whale spoken of in the first chapter of Genesis. Not the word when we're speaking of Leviathan, or it is the great sea monsters. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and cedars. I love cedars. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. So all of creation, the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth, the vapor, the wind, the mountains, the hills, you know, it says in Romans chapter 8 that creation itself is groaning and travailing. It's been subject to vanity because of the fall. What will creation be like when it is set free? He shall go forth with joy, he shall be led forth with peace, it says. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Is that really going to happen? I like trees. I think I'll like them more if they do that. Imagine seeing a whole forest kind of getting down, you know? Says creation is groaning and with expectation, longing for the manifestation of the sons of God, that the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of vanity, of the fall. Well, we have little idea of what I think creation really is. So now the call at the end of this hymn book, for the brokenhearted, yes, this God who's great, who knows the stars themselves, stoops down to the outcast, gathers them together, binds up the hearts. His word is powerful in creation, it brings order, and it's powerful in a human life. It runs, it softens, it blesses. And because of that, praise him from the heavens, from creation on down, praise him from the deep places on up, praise him everything that's made, praise them humans, whatever state in life they are, young and old, princes, kings, judges, men and women, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the authority of his own people, the praise of all of his saints, even the children of Israel, a people that are near to him. Praise ye the Lord. Now these last two psalms here. So we're going to finish early this evening. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Well, it's nice to come to church and sing the Lord in the congregation of the saints, isn't it? Praise ye the Lord, and sing unto the Lord a new song. I think there's more than one way to do that. Again, when I look at that scene around this throne in heaven, when the cherubim are there, and they say, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come, and everybody falls down and throws their crowns. Nobody in that scene saying, oh man, we're singing this song forever. Can't we learn a new song? You know, I see sometimes people in the church, you can see them going, oh, not this one again, or he's going to sing another chorus. Look, those people will come back a month later after having some tragedy in their life and some difficulty, and the same song is new. And God is able to do that, isn't he? I remember before I was a believer, you know, I'd always make it to church on Christmas Eve, usually around 11 o'clock, because it was too cold to stand out on a corner and drink anymore. So you'd want to get in somewhere warm by then. Some of you are shaking your heads. Shame on you. And I knew the words of some of those songs. But then I remember getting saved and singing those same words and having the beauty and the depth of them blow my mind. They were there all along. I never saw them. I never heard them. They were new. They weren't new to me, but they were new to me. And God is able to do that. He's able to take a song that we know well and we're familiar with, and he is able to do something in our hearts and make that song new. And I'm glad that he gives us new songs, because sometimes it's nice to learn some new and some fresh songs. That way, you know, we don't have this kind of zombie Milli Vanilli worship where we're just mouthing the words and the worship band stops and we're still, you know, we're still doing it, you know. Because we shouldn't do that, you know. It's nice to have new songs. It's nice, you know, and I know for you and for me, there are songs that kind of thread through our lives. There are a few of the old hymns that I just love. I have one of them mounted at home in my office. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still in the roses. I love the song. I love it. I love the verses. I get up early in the morning sometimes when the weather warms up and walk in the backyard and just, I love to be alone with him early. So sing unto the Lord a new song. That's a good thing to do, no matter how it is that we get to do it. And praise him in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Now, this psalm seems to be very strongly looking forward to the day that the Messiah comes. Let them praise his name in the dance. Now, there's a way to do that. Your translation might say the flute or the pipe. That was related to the dance. Let them praise the Lord in the dance. This is not lumbata or something. This is not something sensual. There is a way for that to happen. I enjoy ballet. My daughter loves to worship the Lord in dance. She's 13. She got this little cross drawn at home. She made the drawing herself. It's a cross, and there's a pair of ballet shoes at the bottom and a silk ballet kind of outfit hung over the cross. And she really senses that she blesses him when she does that. You know, we take a lot of heat around here sometimes about dances. You know, we don't sponsor dances. You know, there's those kinds of things. I don't have nothing against a husband and a wife who go dancing. They've been intimate. They know each other. But it's just not our responsibility to stick teenagers together whose hormones are flowing in that kind of environment. That's like putting a lit match in a pan of gasoline and saying, gee, is this our responsibility? No, it's not. But I'm certainly not opposed to ballet, to worshiping the Lord in dance. Don't do it here during our worship, but you know, I've been to Israel many, many times and have seen the Israeli dance troops that do it as worship. It's a great thing. One time at Arthur's, when the church was very young, we had a guy just take off and dance right in the middle of worship, and he Dancin' Danny, Frank named him. And you're leading worship, and here goes this guy, and then you see Frank and Tom Schmid chasing him down. Now, he's supposed to be he's supposed to be doing his thing, and he's looking out the corner of eye, sees him, so he's making cuts between the chairs, and they're running, and then I see them go past the hallway door. Now you're just playing music, watching, you know, there they go, there, oh, there they go, there. Had to catch him. He told them, the Lord told me to do it. They said, yeah, but he told you to do it somewhere else. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and with the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. What a day that will be when that all comes out. Now look at this. It seems that Israel is looking forward, Zion's looking forward to her king. But verse 5 is very interesting. It says, let the saints be joyful in glory. In glory. Saints in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. You can do that in glory. You can't do that in your house now. You'll get your wife or your kids or somebody upset. But let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud in their beds. You know, look, we have beds in glory. Praise the Lord. You know, I do praise the Lord in my bed. Sometimes when I get in there, you know, I'm just sorry. I'm 52 years old. I like the way it feels much better than I did when I was a kid. But oh, thank you, Lord. It feels so good. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen. Now, look, we've got the saints in glory in verse 5. These got to be pre-trib saints. They're in glory, singing upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, the nations, and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Look, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. You know, the Bible tells us when Jesus returns, henceforth you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know, he talked to the Jews and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you to myself as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Behold, now your house is left unto you desolate. And henceforth you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. It tells us in Zechariah chapter 10 that they're going to long for him. The spirit of grace and supplication is going to be poured on the house of Israel. And they're going to long for him as one longs for their only son. And it says here, let them praise him in Zion. And then it switches scenes to heaven. It says, let the saints be joyful in glory, singing aloud on their bed. Let a two-edged sword be in their hand, coming to execute the judgment. It says when Christ returns, Enoch said, I saw the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints. And it says we'll be returning with him through the heavens to rule and to reign with him, to execute upon the Christ-rejecting world the judgment written. This honor, it says, have all his saints. That's us. Praise ye the Lord. Remarkable what God has for us in the future. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise God in his sanctuary. Good thing to come to worship together, to praise him. Praise him in his sanctuary. Good thing to do. Praise him in his firmament is just an interesting Hebrew word. It just means in his stretching out, where he's extended himself. Praise him in his firmament of his power, the stretching out of his power, anywhere where his authority reaches. Where do we praise God? Praise him when we're together, but praise him anywhere where his authority has reached. Praise him for, now it tells us why. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him for his mighty acts. You know, it's interesting, when we see the Lord in glory, he appears first as a lamb that was slain. You read the book of Revelation, and he is dictating that letter to John. John, write the things which thou hast seen, write the things which are, and write the things which shall be hereafter. And as Jesus Christ is dictating and John is writing, 28 times in the book of Revelation, he calls himself the Lamb of God. It's his favorite name throughout the book of Revelation, the Lamb of God, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. Praise him for his mighty acts. I think throughout eternity we will realize, it says, in the ages to come, we'll be learning of his mercy and of his grace. We'll be realizing what he accomplished at Golgotha, what he accomplished in shedding his blood, what he accomplished in taking the sin of the world upon himself, what he accomplished in those hours of darkness that was eternally settled before God. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. That's why, and here it tells us how to do it. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Now that was a cornet, that was something different. We don't have a brass section in our worship team, but if you have a trumpet, go home tonight and praise him on it. That's a good thing. Praise him with the psaltery and harp, stringed instruments. Praise him with the timbrel, praise him with the dance, praise him with stringed instruments and flutes, organs, praise him with the loud cymbals. Now take note of that. I guess that's contrast to the quiet ones. Praise him with the loud cymbals, because sometimes when people come, there's drums up there, there's cymbals up there. Hey, God's not hard of hearing, but he's not nervous either. And heaven's going to be a loud place. Good loud, not bad loud. Not going to be screechy, irritating. Everything's going to be EQ'd up there. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Mike McIntosh used to, I don't know if he still does it, but he used to, you know, once a year, because it's interesting, as the church grows, we always have people coming up, I want to do this. I want to play the electric guitar. I want to be part of the worship team. You know, we say, hey, great. We need help in Sunday school right now. Do you want to start there? No, I don't want to play in front of a room of three-year-olds. I want to play in front of thousands of adults. That's my gift, you know. And, you know, you kind of have to find out where somebody's heart is and bring them along. But once in a while in the old building, we had a flute player that came. And just in the middle of worship, he would whip out his flute where he was and started. And Jerry had to take him aside and talk to him. And then he was writing mean letters to us. I this, and I have this gift, and my flute, and I do this, and the Lord caused me to do this, and I this, and me this, and I this, and I this, and me this, and I this, and I this, and he wrote this letter. So I just took a red pencil and circled all of the I, me, my's. There were like 124 of them in a page and a half, and said, think not on yourself, but on the things of others. You know, I just sent that back, and I'm sure that made him happy. But then we had somebody once in the front row reach under their seat. I'm thinking, okay, what do we got going here? And he pulls out this case and opens up, puts a trumpet together, starts, you know, wait a minute, what do you, you know, he's just joining the band right where he is. And so you have those people once in a while jump in. So Mike McIntosh used to have one night a year. We told everybody in the congregation, whatever you play, tune it to pitch before you come. Get a pitch pipe, you know, just make sure you're tuned. But whatever you play, saxes, tubas, trumpets, guitars, timbrels, whatever you play, this is the night. We want you to get it all out. We're just so the whole church would come and be a band. Imagine what a madhouse that was. Imagine how crazy that must have been. I would like to have gone and to see that. I don't want to do that here. I would like to have just gone and just to see what that was like one time. That must have been remarkable. I don't think we should do that, should we? No, oh, get out of here. Okay, take note of everybody that said, yeah, we're going to watch out for them. What do you do? I moonwalk. It says dance right here. No. We only ballet. The timbrel, the dance, the stringed instruments, the loud cymbals. And, of course, imagine what it was like sometimes to have 3,000-4,000 Levites who could play. No offense. You know, they've discovered that pitch is genetic. They're discovering that if you have good pitch, you're a good singer, good musician, that chances are your child will also, if it's a dominant gene, your kid's also going to have pitch. You know, that's why some of the Levites, you know, had to have Levi genes to be part of but that's why, come on, stay with me. You know, that's why there were families of singers and families of musicians and families very interesting in the Levitical families, because God knew even then that it was genetic. I mean, some of you should never... You know, but you're good accountants. Like this, you never want a musician to be an accountant. That can be a disaster. You know, just musicians are they're great musicians. You just don't want to let them near the books usually. You know, so we're all wired differently. We have different gifts, but I don't know if we should do that or not. I'll do that some night when I'm away somewhere, and I let Jerry speak. Well, that'll be the night everybody brings their instruments and. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. What a remarkable hymn book, this ancient hymn book of Israel.